last week.
I saw it. Yeah.
These are the new ones, Vav.
Yeah, Vav. First, I want to thank, as always, to begin with thanking Rabbi Nachmani and the family, Chaburah's named after his father, Avinoam, the Chabur of Darche Avinoam, Avinoam and Chaim, the Nisham Shav and Aliyah, and also to thank Menachem Levitz, the sponsoring the schus of his children, of Shimon, Yehuda, and Shmuel, which have only Simcha, Nachas, and Bracha. We're still on page Hey, but you should have Vav was going around last week, and I think that there was some here that Yaakov just found, so you should have pages Hey and Vav. We began last week to enter more deeply into this sod, this well-kept secret of the Svarim HaKadoshim regarding the nature of Bechira Chavshis vis-a-vis this particular area of Avodas Hashem, where on the one hand it seems from the Zohar Kodesh that tshuva is very, very, very difficult when it comes to this problem of Gam HaBris. And at the same time, Davke, in this area where tshuva is so difficult and it seems to be so closed and shut, chas v'chalila, Davke here, there are so many people, especially in our generation, who feel that they've tried everything. They just can't be completely in control of this. There are good days and bad days. There are good weeks, good months, and then there are often terrible crashes that take place, and many, many Jews in our generation feel that regarding this inyan, the nature of bechira is just different. It's not the same thing as deciding if I want to go to minyan or not. That itself is challenging for many people, but this inyan of kedusha for many people in our generation, there is a feeling of being anus. I've tried, and I'm hearing this all the time. Anybody that's Isaac with Chevron knows that there's this overall feeling of futility. I've been trying for years, and then it was going well, and then it fell apart. So what we're learning, and we're on page Hey, that on the left side in Gimel, in that paragraph, just a couple lines up from the bottom of the that paragraph, the middle on page Hey, the left side, that there is a mahalach that's found in the Svarim HaKadoshim. It's not explained clearly and openly because of how dangerous it is to take it the wrong way. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in such a way where there are certain things that take place that are not completely within the control of one's individual bechira, and that there is a certain degree of onus that is there, that Hashem Baruch wants there to be this avoda before the end of time of continuously struggling with the nefilas, with failure, and despite the failures, to continue to persevere to be Jews. And that there is something that's going on that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a lechatchila of his plan of the world. And while every individual has to try his hardest to be good, and still one has to know that there is a certain point in one's avodah where he has to be able to say that there's something else that's happening here. It's not just a matter of my bechira. Now, this is complicated. It's difficult, and Ramatul will explain it a little bit. Let's look inside. Again, paragraph Gimel. We're up to it. Says Gederach Shomatz V'Kibalnos V'Tzadikim B'Dvarim Shabal Peh. Most of this we received, Ramatul says, Baal Peh, orally. It used to be that the whole Torah Shabal Peh was Baal Peh. And then when it came to Torah Shabal Peh, it was put into writing, but the secrets of Torah were still kept mostly Baal Peh. Then many of the secrets were put into writing. So we have the Zohar Kaddish, and we have many of the secrets of Torah that are already now in writing. But this is still a part of Torah that is Baal Peh, that is largely Baal Peh, that is not written out clearly. Remember, that's what we were up to last week. That was the Rebbe Abzushia said that. That Rebbe Abzushia said, and he didn't say Stam Diburim Ba'alma, that the Rebbe Abzushia said, and I believe Be'munah Shleima, that he had Ruach HaKodesh when he said that, that he was allowed to have that inside picture of what's going on, that he believes that Be'munah Shleima, that Adam Rishon had to eat from the tree. That he had to eat from the tree. Shechrichus Adam Rishon Lachal Me'etz Adaz. And there are certain key times and events that when you look through even in Tanakh, that it's almost obvious that there's something else that's going on. The whole life of David HaMelech is very, very different. And David HaMelech did certain things that none of us would ever be allowed back into yeshiva for. And nobody would ever make a shidduch with a family like that. And David HaMelech was David HaMelech. And we don't see that he's really criticized. There's a conversation between him and the Navi, but there's really very little. There's very little that David HaMelech, that anything happened to David HaMelech. He didn't seem to lose his status as David HaMelech at all. There are other stories, the story of the Shimshon HaGibor, what's going on with Shimshon HaGibor, and going back, as we spoke about last week, with Yehuda and Tamar. We name our children Yehuda. We love Yehuda. Yehuda did something that, again, was not totally inappropriate and unacceptable. And we spoke a lot about this the past few times, the past few shiur. So it's mostly in that family of Yehuda of David HaMelech, because that's over there is the sod of Mashiach ben David, that there are things that are happening that do not seem to be a matter of Bechira, as it says very clearly, and I mentioned before, that with Yehuda it says that there was a Malach HaMumun al HaTaiva, that there was a Malach that pushed him to do such a thing, that he was never going to go to Tamar, there was a Malach that pushed him to do such a thing. But you could be certain that while Yehuda was going through that, he wasn't saying, this is just the Malach pushing me. But he was crying, and he was davening, and he was struggling. And he felt the way many of us feel over the years of being unsuccessful. And waking up the next morning, wondering, like, what happened? What did I do? And that from that came Peretz and Zerach, and from Peretz comes out Mashiach Tzidkenu. Comes David, comes Mashiach Tzidkenu. What did I do? What was that about? I can't believe I did that. I don't know if anybody in this Beis HaMedrash ever said that to himself. I can't believe I did that. Those are words that all of us have said to ourselves, sometimes to others. I can't believe that happened. That's taking less responsibility. I can't believe that happened. It's not the same as saying, I can't believe I did that. But it's a madrigo also. It's like you're trying to, that's the person trying to get like one step further. I can't believe that happened. It's not the same as I can't believe I did that. But it's still a madrega. It's still a madrega. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe I was involved in that happening. It's a madrega also. And there are things that we've done that are inconsistent with who we are. They're just inconsistent with who we are. And we're not the only ones who are wondering. Our parents would wonder, like, I'm surprised that happened. I'm surprised my kid did. If they knew, I'm surprised my kid did that. And in Shemaim, the Malachim that are wondering, yeah, him too. I thought he could do better. The Malachim are also wondering. There's only one. Yachid Echad Miyuchad Bari Kol Olamos that knows that there's an Inyan that he's bringing into the world. So from the time that we're little, we're wondering, like, well, what would it be like if Adam Rishon had not eaten from Eitz HaDa'as? And the emphasis is that you don't see in the Kitzvei Ari such conversations. You don't see that. You know why? Because the Arizal didn't believe that was part of the plan. That he wouldn't eat from Eitz HaDa'as. So you don't find that that's a part of the... You find that like in later, you know, sometimes in some Svarim they talk about like these things. But you don't find it. In the Kisvei, you don't find like... You would think there'd be a mimer on this subject of Adam Rishon. Had he not eaten from the tree, what would have been? You don't find. I'm not saying that it's not mentioned in certain contexts, but it's not really part of the conversation of the Balei HaZayir and the Kisvei and the Ari HaKadosh. It's not part of their conversation. Because there, it's a Dover, it's something which is Mekubal. So, that this is what the Baruch Shalom wanted. You see these words that Avantel uses? He says, that Hashem wanted that there should be a Torah shekazu. Now the Torah could have been different tziruf from, could have been a different lashon of the Torah, could have been broken down as the Ramban we see, different psukim, different words. But from the perspective of Pnimius, it seems like Hashem Baruch Hu wanted a Torah, just the same way it says in the Torah that there's that if two people can't get along with each other, that he can give her a get, right? They can get divorced. And sometimes when I've had people that are in a very, very terrible situation and their lives are getting destroyed and they have to have a get, and they how are they going to do this? So I say that Hashem wrote into the Torah there's such a parasha. There's a parasha of a get. Hashem Baruch Hu made the world in such a way where they're going to have marriages that are not going to work out. He made such a thing. He wants that there should be marriages, but he made a world where men and women naturally are at odds with each other, and it's going to be a huge, huge challenge to make a marriage work. And Hashem Yisbaruch wrote up his Torah in such a way where there are going to be marriages that don't work. He also wrote up his Torah where there are going to be all kinds of other weird things happening. We just read in the parashah just now, all kinds of gilei raos and shechus, all kinds of things. And that he wanted a world like that, and he wanted a Torah like that, and he wanted that there should be such a Metzius that we're going to be living in. That's why I was talking about yesterday, about Hashem wants a Chametz de Gevel. He created a world that has Chametz in it. But he wants us to make a B'dikas Chametz, and a Bir Chametz. He didn't want a Chametz-free world. And therefore the Torah is not free of Chametz. The Torah is filled with Chametz. Meaning the Torah tells us how to deal with Chametz. What to do with Chametz. The Baruch Shalom wanted that there should be such a world that has chametz in it, and that you should try to find it and to get rid of it. That's not Gan Eden. Therefore, you don't find that the Inyan of the Zohar Kaddish Nari is to talk about, like, to cry about how come it didn't work out. It could have worked out. It doesn't sound like it could have worked out in Pnimius. That's what the Rebbe Bzushi was saying. That Adam Rishon Hechrichu, they forced him to eat from the tree. That he wasn't going to eat from the tree. According to his Madrega, he wasn't going to eat from the tree. And what Ramatl is explaining to us is that we have mostly Baal Peh, is that in our lives, in our children's lives, there are many, many things that they were not going to do. And they would rather not do and they don't want to do. And there's some sort of a hechrich. It comes out as a psychological, emotional, physical hechrich, but there's something there's some sort of a drive, of an onus that's not entirely within the realm of a person's bechira chavshus. Again, this is something that if you would talk about this with your neighbors or in the even a conversation with the kids or with the yeshiva, would also get thrown out of yeshiva. You know. But this is the truth. Valderach zayeshlam kilkulam hashasof kol sof. There are kilkulim in the world and in our lives when we look back, we realize that it had to be that way. It had to be that way. The same way that it had to be that there are certain Jews that are raised in families that are not religious, and they spent the first 25 years of their lives eating chazer. And this guy or this girl looks at other people, Jews that were raised in from families, is thinking that why is it that I had to eat chazer for 20 years, and I had to have and chazer's metamtem and causes all kinds of, and that I had to go through all these things and to be open to all kinds of taivas, and now the rest of my life I have these memories, and I have to overcome these. The chazer is not such a challenge, but other things that I have the rest of my life to deal with, because I was raised in a family, and I went to a public school, and I went to a college where these things were like were mutlach, mutlach, mutlach. And now I'm trying to be this real from father and to raise a from family. And if my kids knew the things that I'm thinking about, and sometimes my occasional little, you know, trips back into the past. I don't mean chashron b'pail, but in my thoughts, and sometimes the struggles of memories and so on that are deeply ingrained. Why did Hashem raise me in such a family? All I want is to be a good Jew. Why was I raised in such a world that I have these memories that I have to deal with? Why did this happen to me? And then what about you have kids that were molested, God forbid, things that happened to them? I was talking to somebody yesterday that last Shabbos, Somebody told the kid that was not once, not twice, by a family member, by a Rebbe, by molested. And now the kid for the rest of his life has a milchama to deal with, certain that we can't imagine, Chalila, what that is with that kid. So was that his choice? He's a regular happy kid. And then bad people did bad stuff to him. And now the rest of his life, including if he settles down and he gets married, his wife is going to have to deal with his inyanim. It doesn't just go away, this stuff. So even if he's able to get married, she's going to have to deal with his inyanim. It's going to come up. So he's an onus. Now, do we say about the person who did that to him that he is an onus to do that to somebody else? These conversations are not about what somebody does to another person. We're talking about what with oneself. We're talking about pagam habris, not about what one does to hurt another person. That's something else. We're not going there. We're talking about within oneself. Within the dalat amas of oneself. There are kilkulim. The shuv ayim kim lechadchila hetzarech liyoske. When yisoid zeh nimshach chizuk gadol inyani pagam habris. From this yisod, all those who are struggling with the Pagam HaBris have tremendous chizik. Even though the Zohar says that it's hard to do tshuva on Pagam HaBris, and very often the tshuva seems to be something which is for a short time, and then it's a recurrent problem, and again, and tshuva back, Ratzav Hashem, Ratzav Hashem, Ratzav Hashem. Mikamakav, Acher HaTikun Sheshayach Sheyesakin HaOdem Inyan Zeh. If a person tries his best to use the tikkunim that were given to us, that we were taught, which we're going to be Isaac and Mir Hashem for the coming years, and a person that works hard on using these tikkunim, these are the tikkunim. Again, no one taught us any of these tikkunim when we were younger. They just said, don't do that. But once you learn the tikkunim, you know, there's also Ashgacha Pratis, why we're all together now, and that we're going to learn these tikkunim together, that once you learn the tikkunim and you try to apply them to your life sincerely, genuinely, you try to use these tikkunim, then you're allowed to look back and say that I did not have complete bechira chavshus in the earlier years of my life. I did not have. And that part of my life and that inyan of my life was not something that was entirely up to me. And even if you slip in the present, but as long as you're trying hard to use these tikkunim, and these are not tikkunim of fasting or rolling in the snow, anything like that. The tikkunim. And when a person's Isaac in these tikkunim, and he's trying to be on the program of these tikkunim, zo. That's all. What about my disgusting past? Like what happened. The Gemara tells us that when Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon, who himself had an interesting past, Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon, when he was young. I'm not going to go into that right now. The son of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai had a son that went through great difficulties. He turned out to be Rabbi Elazar. The Tanna Rabbi Elazar was buried with him. But Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai had to run for his money with Rabbi Elazar. And afterwards, it was a ma'aseh with Rabbi Elazar. Chazal tell us that Rabbi Elazar was coming back from spending a tremendous amount of time learning. The Tafri was learning, and he was in a very, very exalted place. And that he met somebody, and it's a whole story in the Gemara. And you remember what happened? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon said, "Kama mukhur." He says, "How ugly this person is." And he wasn't talking about him physically. Rabbi Elazar talking about someone, how he looks. He was talking about kama mukhur. He saw, Rabbi Elazar saw, looking at this person, that he was doing disgusting things. He was bad, into bad stuff. And Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon said, "Kama uchuz." And Rabbi Elazar said, "Where you come from, the people are like all ugly like you. Like maybe it's, in other words, maybe it's your environment. It's a little bit of a limud zchus. In other words, maybe you come from a rough neighborhood or something." So you remember what his answer was? And that person, so then this Kabbalah was Eliyahu Navi. That was disguised as inside and out, like somebody that's mechu'ar, ugly. You remember what his answer was? What did he say? Lech l'umen sha'asani, go speak to the one who made me. What does that mean, go speak to the one who made me? Go speak to the one who made me. You could add the words, go speak to the one who made me do those things. Go speak to the one who made me. Why is that an answer, go speak to the one who made me? What do you mean, you're a Baal Bechira? Just like me. You know those things are bad, don't do them. And afterwards we see that Rabbi Shimon is begging you for mechila, right? This is before he was in the cave for 13 years with his father. The Lech Lumen Shasan. Go speak to the one, he said, go speak. Why am I ugly? Go speak to the one who made me. So this Tarish Baal Peh understands that Gemara in a different way, in a deep way. Lech l'umen sha'asani is not shifting the blame over this. It means that I was made differently than you. And I was made, the way that I was made, there are things that I went through that if you went through those things, you'd be in big trouble. But I'm not in big trouble. Lech l'umen sha'asani, go speak to the one who made me this way. The vaday shekosha b'yoseleimer she'ef shalasakin zayis. It's koshaleimer. The impression that one would get from looking at the Zohar is that you can't fix this. So Ramatul says again, he's not saying his own Torah. This is in the Svar that you can't say such a thing. I spoke about this a little bit yesterday, in the afternoon before, at the beginning of the Shia on Chias HaMesim. That we're now in the week of Netzach, and Netzach means that on the most basic level, that a person does not accept b'shum oifen that choice of there not being a tikkun. A person who lives with the midah of Netzach does not accept that I cannot fix this. Netzach means nitzchius, and it means nitzachon. It means netzach tiv anatzeach. I'm not going to be defeated by this. It means there's always a tikkun. There's always a tikkun. It's not finished. The inyan is not finished. I don't know how right now. Right now, I'm not succeeding in overcoming this. But I'm not prepared to accept, as a Jew, that I'm doomed. That can't be. It's a lo yachol liyot. Lo yidach menu nidach. There's no such thing that, as a Jew that I'm not going to be menatzeach if I want to be. There's no such thing. You could point to all these disgusting things I did until now. Said, I'm not denying that. I take responsibility for that. But anatzeach, I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to be victorious. In the end, I'm going to win. That's the most basic hergish that a Baal Netzach has, the midah of Netzach. Ani yachol v'ani muchrach lenatzeach v'ani anatzeach. I'm going to be victorious. And when a person says, I'm going to be victorious, as I explained many times, use a marshal. Just, I explained last year a little bit about this. Not in this year, but I was talking a little bit on Shabbos once last year, during Netzach, that you could have two people, Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven, both of them have been trying, let's use a simple example, both of them have been trying to lose weight. Reuven and Shimon, both of them are dieting and trying to lose weight. And Reuven's goal in losing weight, right now, let's say he's 290 pounds, and his goal is to get down to 230, because the doctor spoke to him, that's his goal. And he's working towards that goal. He's dieting and he's trying to exercise to get to that goal. That's Reuven. Why does he want to be 230, not 290? Because the doctor said otherwise you're going to die. And it could be that he's trying to get married and the girls are not so attracted to the larger Mahadura. And the Madura Tinyana will be thinner, so fit into a suit and look a little bit better, you know, whatever. So he's got cheshbainis, and they're good cheshbainis to live and to get married. It's good cheshbainis. Those are his cheshbainis. Those are Reuven's cheshbainis. Now, what happens to Reuven? There's a simcha, or there's something with this unusually exciting type of food that's being offered. And Reuven so far has lost 12 pounds. He's doing well. But he never saw a cheesecake like this, whatever, shvu or something. There's a new chiddush of a cheesecake. And he never saw such a cheesecake. And he starts to... he's starting to get weak a little bit. He sees everybody else is fasting, and he's getting a little weak, and he said, then he starts to say, you know, Sofkel Sof, I'm a Yidden, there's a minute to eat cheesecake on Shavuos. I don't want to be a kofer. So somebody says, why don't you just have a little milk? You could be Isis. That's not how the tzaddikim did it. You know, so then what happens? So then he has a cheesecake in there, but then everybody else just stands back and he finishes off 12. That's how these things usually go. And then the next morning, sick, he hates himself. He doesn't want to live. He's right that the and then he starts going on a binge back. That's Reuven's story. So he was not Menatzeach. He was not a Menatzeach. He lost. That's one Mahalach in Netzach. Let's talk about Shimon. Shimon weighs not 290, 300. And Shimon wants to get down to to get down in his weight. But Shimon's mahalach, Shimon's machshava and his kavana is not to reach 230 and to fit into the suit and to get a pretty wife. That's not his kavana. If that happens, yofi, but that's not his kavana. He has one kavana. Ani rotzel his gaber al taivas ha'achila. That's his kavan. I want to be a person who is in control of my taiva of eating. I want to take control of my life. And let's say the same thing happens to Shimon by the Simcha. Same thing happens, he finishes off all the cake. His program is not to reach 230. And he might not ever reach the weight that he wanted. But every single second in Shimon's life where he feels like giving into that taiva of eating and he holds himself back, he looks at himself as being menatzeach. You understand? Ani ish matzliach, ani nitzachti. I, 5 minutes later, he gives into it. Achshav lo nitzachti. But when he was in control, it was Nitzach. It wasn't that I'm only going to be menatzeach when I get to 2:30. And if I don't get to 2:30, then I'm a loser. I'm a loser. For Shimon, every single second that he struggles with this taiva, and this second I overcame it and I didn't give in to it, he's menatzeach. He's in the world of Netzach. He's a gibur. He's mamish a gibur. He's in the world of Netzach. Nitzchius is something which is forever. Because his program is not some goal down the line for other things. His program is one thing. Ana avdu d'kud shebrichu. I'm an Eved Hashem. And the Baruch Shalom wants a Jew to live in control of his taivas. That the Maruch should be shalot al alev, and that I should be in control of myself. And therefore, every second of my life is filled with the deepest meaning, because this second I could be an Eved Hashem, and an Eved Hashem is not giving into this taiva. The next day he indulges. Today I didn't. Today I hifsadati. So, not that I am a loser. I am today hifsadati. This particular battle I lost. Reuven's not like that. Because Reuven can go to 3 years till he gets to 2:30. And then when he finally gets down to 2:30, he's feeling good about himself and he's got some new clothing. What happens to a lot of that chevra? He's feeling good about himself. Then he starts again with the eating. I knew a guy like this where I grew up in the neighborhood in Queens. In the end, he died because of his weight. At the end of his life, he couldn't leave his door. Hashem Yach. He couldn't leave his house. That's how big he was. And every time in the shtiebel, he came in skinny, and then again like this and like that. And then every single time, killing himself and beating himself up because he thought that he got to that weight, and then he once again he was at 2:30, and then back up to 300, 350, 400, crazy. So he was a loser. In his eyes, he was the biggest loser in the world because he didn't get to the end zone. He didn't get to the goal. You have two guys in yeshiva. Now let's make it a little bit more of a frum marshal. It's important to stop and to talk about this for a minute, especially because it's Netzach. Listen, two guys in yeshiva, and they're both learning, healthy. Reuven is learning. Reuven pushes himself to learn. He has a goal of being a magid shiur in a big yeshiva. He wants to be a magid shiur. He wants to put out svarim. He wants to be a lamdan. He wants to be known as a lamdan. He wants to be a magid shir, and he wants to be able to write a sefer. Those are very noble aspirations, and that's what his goal is. And he's steiging to get to that goal. His friend Shimon, his chavrusa Shimon, doesn't have an inyan of being a rosh yeshiva, a magid shir, a machaber. His mahalach, his way of thinking is, every single second that I'm learning the Baruch Shalom's Torah gives nachas ruach to the one who created me, ana avdu d'kud shebrichu. I'm learning Hashem's Torah. Now, it's a whole different life. If Reuven didn't understand that Tosfos, at the end of the day, he could be depressed and kill himself. Shimon didn't come out with a pshat in Tosfos, but Shimon said, "Nafkimin, I've spent 5 hours trying to understand Tosfos. I gave it my best shot. That was Avodas Hashem. Trying to understand Tosfos is Avodas Hashem." Reuven doesn't have that malach. Reuven's inyan is getting Tosfos brings me one step closer to being the Rosh Hashiva. Not getting Tosfos keeps me back from being the Rosh Hashiva. And I start to look at myself that I'm a lo yitzloch and I'm never going to be the Rosh Hashiva. So I'm not going to be that Rosh Hashiva. That I'm worthless. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. B'chulu b'chulu. Which all the places where that can take a person. Shimon doesn't have that at all. Shimon's inyan is anafkimina. Today I spent Bo Hashem 8, 9, 10 hours learning. I'm a chai. I sat 10 hours with the Baruch Shalom talking to me. I didn't understand everything he said. He's very smart. I didn't get it all. Tosfos says the Baruch Shalom is talking. I don't understand what he's talking about. Okay, I tried. I can't figure it out. I didn't understand what Tosfos said. Rabbi Natan is very smart. I didn't understand what he said. I didn't understand everything Rabbi Natan said. So what? But I tried to understand Rabbi Natan. I said, Rabbi, I don't understand. What are you talking about? And Rabbi Natan said, I'm going to explain to you again. and I'm looking to Tosis, and I hear 10 times Rabbeinu Tam. I'm going through 100 times Rabbeinu Tam. I don't understand what's the nafkamina. I tried. I don't understand what he's talking about. He's smarter than me, so no what? I spent 10 hours with Rabbeinu Tam. It's a schus, no? It's not a cheshman. I wasted the day. I'm further than I was yesterday from being the Rosh Hashiva, the Magid Shir, from being the Mechaber of the Sefer. So, that's not my cheshman. My cheshman is, I'm sitting there and spending the day with Gemara Rashi Tosis. It's a Mechaya. I'm trying to understand Tosis. I don't understand. It's okay. And if it doesn't work out, I'll move on. Like Rabbi Nachman says, I'll go back to another Gemara. So it doesn't work out. There's plenty of the other Tosis, you know, in Shaz, you can learn another Tosis. This one didn't work out, so go to another one. What I'm saying now, many in the yeshiva world, is like happy courses. You understand? Mamash happy courses. And they would say this is the biggest lo yitzloch to talk that way, and it's the and all the lack of hatzlocha comes from this way of talking. Bilach patli klal. Because what we're talking about is the erchim pnimius. And in pnimius, the inyan of netzach is right now, every single person here could be doing what a lot of men are doing on Sunday mornings. So I never understand they like doing stuff in the house. Like tinkering. Doing stuff. And everybody here is sitting and learning Torah. That was a choice that you made. To come to learn Torah. Because we want to be better Jews and we're trying to learn Torah. So. That's a nitzach. That's mamash nitzchis. Because there's only one thing that's nitzchi, and that's HaKadosh Baruch. And whenever you're connected to nitzchis, which is Tosis, and you're learning Tosis, that's nitzchis. I'm connected to something that's eternal, that's forever. It's infinitely beyond anything of this world. And that's what I'm doing right now. We're sitting here, we're learning Torah. So does that mean that I'm not going to be the Magid Shir, I'm not going to be the Lamdan? Well, so what? Who says I have to be a Lamdan? Who says I have to be a Magid Shir? Is that some place that every Jew has to be Magid Shir? So I'm not going to be a Magid Shir. But right now, I know that Rachel wants me to learn as much as I can. I'm trying to learn. So I didn't understand Tosis. No. If I'm not trying hard enough, I have to work on it to concentrate. All the other things are true. I have to concentrate. I have to steig. Of course. I have to try to understand Tosis. I do my... If not, so what? So therefore the day was wasted? The day wasn't wasted. What could be a better thing than spending a whole day on a Tosis? I spent the whole day on a Tosis. But Reuven is very angry with himself. Because Reuven doesn't see any nitzchias or any nitzachen in that word of Tosis. He only sees a nitzachen in chapping Tosis. Because then I'm more like the Magid Shir. And I'll be able to more likely to say over to kids in the future, a shir in the Tosis. Shimon doesn't care. He doesn't have to say a shir in Tosis. He just has to learn Tosis. He tries hard and he doesn't learn. He doesn't understand it. Says nish is nish. Then he didn't understand. It's a much more relaxed life, no? It's a happier life. It's not a cowardly way out. It's just the opposite. It's the deepest way in. The deepest way into Torah. It's the way the Baruch Shalom gave it when he said, Anochi Hashem Lekecha, I should say Sich Meres, and so on. That's how he gave us the Torah. He didn't give us the Torah with setting this goal and making that goal. He gave us the Torah as every second that you're learning Torah, you're together with me, Amachai, the Shechina is sitting, the Yeshiv is Shani Kenegdi, his mom is sitting with me. The Baruch Shalom is Shani Kenegdi. I sit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I'm learning a piece of Torah, I'm sitting. And Reuven comes over to Shimon and says, that's what you're learning. You could do better than that. I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem. I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem. I mentioned to one of the Chevri yesterday because we were talking about bringing me with Shem, some of the Chevri, we were going to the Tzin of Reb Shaila. Reb Shaila Kerestir. The whole world now fell in love with Reb Shaila. There are very deep reasons for that. And we'll talk about it with Shem when we get there. I have to feel what's there. I was never there. I only heard stories from my father a little bit. I don't know what's there, but it's an Indian Barab Shaila. But I did say one thing to one of the Chavim. We were walking back from Shul. I'll tell you one little thing, maybe remind me to tell this over by Barab Shaila's scene. That, you know what he used to do all the time? What was Barab Shaila busy with? Feeding people. See, he was feeding people. They never saw him learn. Although they say that he was very big, but they never saw him learn. So there was a certain big lamdan that was by Abshaila, and he was looking down like a, he saw Abshaila running around covering people with blankets, and this one he's giving food, and this one, and he was looking like Abshaila. This is a rabbi. This is a, and this person was also somebody that was learning Kabbalah, this Talmud Chacham. So he went to Abshaila and he said to Abshaila, he says, "You're a person that should be learning Rosin de Rosin, meaning the deepest secrets of Torah, and you're running around here giving food like this." So Reb Shaila smiled and he said, "You could be talking about Rosin de Rosin, and I'm talking about La Soiva Veloila Rosin." What does that mean? You know what it means. You're talking about Rosin de Rosin, which means secrets, but also La Soiva in the La Sova Lola Rosin means that it should be, the guest should be La Sova Lola Rosin, that everybody should be full. La Sova Lola Rosin, the Rosin means to be starving, to be skinny, right? Shaila's Indian is La Sova Lola Rosin. Your Indian is Rosin de Rosin, isn't it? That's not my Indian, Rosin de Rosin. Mine's La Sova Lola Rosin. I don't want Jews to be hungry, that's what he said. I don't want to see Jews hungry. I know Shaila, you think Reb Shaila Kersti went to sleep thinking that, I can't believe I didn't learn enough today. He didn't go to sleep like that. This was his Indian in the world. And I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem. An Adad Kutshabrih. That's what Netzach means. Netzach means not that the person's never Poigim in the Bris. That's not Netzach. Netzach means Harega Hazeh, this moment of my life, I'm being very much pulled to do this. To do this damage to myself, and right now I'm Isaac in the Avoida of not giving into this. And if for this moment I was successful, when I felt like doing it, and I didn't, Netzachti. It's a moment of Nitzchias, it's Rabbeinu Tam. I'm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm with Hashem Baruch Hu, and I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem this moment. That's called Netzach. That's called Nitzchias. That's called Nitzchias. You feel like saying something back to your wife, and because she got you upset about something, you want to say something back, and you menatzeach that second. Somebody else would say, "Yeah, but what kind of a marriage do you have? Your overall marriage is that." Right now, I felt like saying a bad word. Netzachti. That's netzach. That's netzach. That's nitzchias. Because this moment of holding back a bad word is nitzchias. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof. And anything that I do that he wants me to do, and any time that I hold myself back and I don't do something he doesn't want me to do, netzachti. It's a nitzachim. It's nitzchias. It's a nitzachim. Therefore, the whole inyan of a person looking back and measuring himself based upon his failures of the past is the hepech of the Ratzon Hashem. It's the opposite of the Ratzon Hashem. The avoid of a Jew is this second of my life, I'm menatzeach. If I'm not menatzeach, that's not. So then I'm going to try to be better, and I'll be menatzeach next time. That's the whole thing. So this moment I wasn't menatzeach. Of course, if I took somebody's money, I have to give it back. I can't say, no, zelo halach. I took $12 million from the guy. Next time I'll try to be stronger. there's a halacha, it's like, Zayla, you have to give the money back. That's relatively easy to give somebody back, but I can't give back the moments of my life that I took away from myself. I can't do that. Only the Bayer can do such. I can't do that. The Heshiv says, "Hey, I can give somebody else his money back." Again, because that's when it's not get to somebody else. I'm not talking about that. That's something else. We're talking about oneself. Oneself? My union is that if sadity, next time I won't be mafsid. I'll be menatzeach. I'll be matzliach. That's all. And that's exactly what Ramatul is leading us in to understand. I just wanted to give a little bit of hakdama, because it's today's Netzach, a little bit of hakdama to understand that all that Ramatul is talking about over here is the Midah of Netzach. Of course, it's Yisod, the Midah. It's talking about Netzach should be Yisod. That's what it's talking about. Had to be Menatzeach in the Midah of Yisod. It's with this understanding that Masha Hayah, Hayah, and whether I was a Baal Bechira, I wasn't a Baal Bechira, All I know is that right now I have to try my hardest to be menatzeach. That's my avodah. And if it doesn't work out, maybe at some point in the future Hashem will tell me that I couldn't. I don't know. But I don't have to kill myself about it. I just have to try next minute to be menatzeach. And maybe at some point in the future, I'm not thinking about that right now, it's my cheshbon, at some point in the future I will be shown that it was rigged and I couldn't possibly win. And that I couldn't possibly win. You know, there's a show on television when we were kids, it was called Jeopardy. You ever see that? So I know it's long because my mother watches it every night at 7:30. And I know I never call my mother from 7 to 7:30 is Jeopardy. So I always call before Jeopardy or after Jeopardy. And my mother always says there was a Jew today, he won $12,000. My mother's always waiting for some Jew that's going to win. And so I went over and I forgot. I forgot about Jeopardy. Because it came out, because a lot of times I go with my father, Michal Marv, and I came before, so I can go together with my father, Michal Marv. It came out, Jeopardy time. I came. But right the second that I'm coming, my mother sees me coming, she right away turns off the television. She turns off the television. She saw that I forgot it was Jeopardy. No. So I go in there, and I'm sitting, and I look at the clock, because it's almost Mincha, I look at the clock, and I see it's like it's 7:18. I say, Mom, I'm so sorry. I forgot it's Jeopardy. So my mother says to me, "No, that's my mother says, cool. No, that's okay. I'm happy." No, she doesn't care, but she says that's okay. And then this every time there's this conflict, because I've done that a number of times. I forget with the Jeopardy. So then every time this is what happens. My father says always this. He said, "It's all sheker. Listen to me. They give them everything in advance." So then I always say, but Daddy, the show's on for like 50 years, and they would have found out. No, the government would have found out. My father says, I'm telling you, it's all lies, because it can't be that this guy knows all those things. It's always the same thing. It can't be that this guy knows all those answers. It can't be. No. How does he know so much as a guy? He doesn't know so many things. It's always the same thing, every time. My mother says, but honey, maybe he studied, he knows. My father says, and Amor, it's all because he's related probably to the people from, and they don't want him to, because this way they give him the money and he gives the money back, or there's a, my father's like, I said, Daddy, I think that they probably moved on past, because he said, you don't remember there was this show, the $64,000 question like back in the 50s, and they found out that it was a scandal. It's all the same thing. They're all lies, it's all scandals, it's all. It could be that this afternoon will be the same. Oh no, Japanese not on Sunday. This is the conversation every time. There is such an Indian that the game is rigged. There is such a thing that the answers are already written up in advance. There is such an Indian. But we think Kelamuna ain't Avil, Tadi Vyoshahu, the Bani Shalom is Tadi Vyosha, Kelamuna ain't Avil. The Bani Shalom is worried about taking care of the Nitzchis of our Neshamas. And if my neshama needs right now to go through a certain challenge and difficulty, even a failure, then that's what's something that I have to go through. Because the godless of my life is going to be to move on past that failure and not to give in to that, not to give in to it, to be menatzeach. That's my life. My life is not the guy that gets to that place where he fits into the suit and he marries the pretty girl. That's not my life. My life is the struggle to overcome this inyan. That's my life. And that's my nitzachim. So, that's my whole life, is to be menatzeach. And as long as I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me, and that this gives him the most infinite, deepest nachas ruach to see that one of his children is in the milchama, then I'm a happy person. Reuven, even when he gets to be the way that he wanted to be, not davka, a happy person. Not davka. The guy that wants to be the Veltz Lamdin, so there's always somebody that's a bigger Lamdin, right? So he's a Lamdan, he turned out, and he wrote a sefer, and he saw somebody in shul looking at the sefer, and the person looked at the sefer, and went, nah, I don't like that, but it's he's doomed. He's doomed, because there's always that guy that'll do that too. So he turned out, he's a mechaber, he says over shir, but he doesn't have the top shir in the yeshiva. He's got the second shir. So his whole life is a life of losing. Shimon, and Afkimina, Amichai, he sits down, he opens up the Gemara, he learns the Gemara. Nitzachti. It's a different world. Ashreinu, we should be menatzim.